The fourth Sunday after Pentecost, July 6th. The Collect and Psalm will be read from the Episcopal Church Book of Common Prayer. The Old Testament Epistle and Gospel will be read from the New American Standard Bible. O God, you have taught us to keep all your commandments by loving you and our neighbor. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may be devoted to you with our whole heart and united to one another with pure affection. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Track 1, Old Testament, is from 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man in the view of his master, and eminent, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was also a valiant warrior, but afflicted with leprosy. Now the Arameans had gone out in bands and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, then he would cure him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "The girl who is from the land of Israel spoke such and such." Then the king of Aram said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "And now as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman my servant to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy." But when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to keep alive, that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he is seeking a quarrel against me." Now it happened, when Elisha the man of God heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent word to the king, saying, "Why did you tear your clothes? Just have him come to me, and he shall learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots, and stood at the doorway of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean." But Naaman was furious and went away, and he said, "Behold, I thought, he will certainly come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the site and cure the leprosy. Are Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, not better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Then his servants approached and spoke to him, saying, "My father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, in accordance with the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Track 1, Psalm, is Psalm 30. I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies triumph over me. O Lord my God, I cried out to you, and you restored me to health. You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored my life as I was going down to the grave. Sing to the Lord, you servants of his. Give thanks for the remembrance of his holiness. For his wrath endures but the twinkling of an eye, his favor for a lifetime. Weeping may spend the night, but joy comes in the morning. While I felt secure, I said, "I shall never be disturbed." You, Lord, with your favor, made me as strong as the mountains. Then you hid your face, and I was filled with fear. I cried to you, O Lord. I pleaded with the Lord, saying, "What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you or declare your faithfulness?" Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my wailing into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Therefore my heart sings to you without ceasing. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. Tract 2 Old Testament is from Isaiah chapter 66, verses 10 through 14. Be joyful with Jerusalem and rejoice for her, all you who love her. Be exceedingly glad with her, all you who mourn over her, so that you may nurse and be satisfied with her comforting breasts, so that you may drink fully and be delighted with her bountiful breasts. For this is what the Lord says, Behold, I extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you will be nursed, you will be carried on the hip, and rocked back and forth on the knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem. Then you will see this, and your heart will be glad, and your bones will flourish like the new grass. And the hand of the Lord will be made known to his servants, but he will be indignant toward his enemies. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Tract 2 Psalm is Psalm 66, verses 1 through 8. Be joyful in God, all you lands. Sing the glory of his name. Sing the glory of his praise. Say to God, How awesome are your deeds! Because of your great strength, your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down before you, sings to you, sings out your name. Come now and see the works of God, how wonderful he is in his doing toward all people. He turned the sea into dry land, so that they went through the water on foot, and there we rejoiced in him. In his might he rules forever, his eyes keep watch over the nations. Let no rebel rise up against him. Bless our God, you peoples. Make the voice of his praise to be heard. Who holds your souls in life, and will not allow your feet to slip. The epistle is from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 16. Brothers and sisters, even if a person is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual are to restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you are not tempted as well. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks that he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting, but to himself alone, and not to another. For each one will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap destruction from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Let's not become discouraged in doing good, for in due time we will reap, if we do not become weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let's do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. See, with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. All who want to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they want to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And all who follow this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. The Word of the Lord. The Gospel is from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 11 and 16 through 20. Now after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go, behold, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money belt, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. And whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer is deserving of his wages. Do not move from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what is served to you, and heal those in it who are sick, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your city, which clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. The one who listens to you listens to me, and the one who rejects you rejects me. But the one who rejects me rejects the one who sent me.' Now the 72 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And he said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to walk on snakes and scorpions, and authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven.'" The Gospel of the Lord. On July 12th, we celebrate the life of Nathan Soderblom, Archbishop of Uppsala and Ecumenist. Read from a great cloud of witnesses. Nathan Soderblom, Archbishop of Uppsala, is regarded as one of the founders of the modern ecumenical movement. Born in Torno in Sweden on January 15, 1866, Soderblom attended the University of Uppsala and was ordained a priest in the Lutheran Church of Sweden in 1893. From 1894 to 1901, he served as pastor of the Swedish Lutheran community in Paris, during which time he took his doctorate in theology at the Sorbonne. He returned to Uppsala in 1902 to teach and lead the School of Theology at the university. He was a highly respected scholar and teacher, a prolific writer, and an early proponent of the study of comparative religions. To the surprise and dismay of many, he was appointed Archbishop of Uppsala in 1914. It had been centuries since the senior bishops of the Swedish Church had been passed over for the appointment, and this was particularly notable since Soderblom was not a bishop. He served as Archbishop of Uppsala until his death in Uppsala on July 12, 1931. Soderblom took a great interest in the early liturgical renewal movement among Roman Catholics, Anglicans, and Lutherans. This coincided with his deep commitment to the unity of the Churches of Christ and his passion for ecumenical advancement. In 1925, he invited Episcopalian, Anglican, Reformed, Lutheran, and Orthodox leaders to Stockholm and together they formed the Universal Christian Council on Life and Work. Soderblom worked closely with Charles Henry Brent at the first Conference on Faith, an order that Brent organized in 1927 in Lucerne, Switzerland. Because of his effort and his tireless advocacy of Christian unity, Soderblom is numbered among the ecumenists whose efforts led eventually to the formation of the World Council of Churches in 1948. It was Soderblom's advocacy for church unity as a means toward world peace that earned him the Nobel Peace Prize in 1930. Archbishop Soderblom saw a profound connection between liturgical worship, personal prayer, and social justice. A rich cohesion of these elements was, in his mind, the foundation of a Christian commitment well lived. Soderblom died in Uppsala, Sweden in 1931. Let us pray. Almighty God, we bless your name for the life and work of Nathan Soderblom, Archbishop of Uppsala, who helped to inspire the modern liturgical revival and worked tirelessly for cooperation among Christians. Inspire us by his example that we may ever strive for the renewal of your church in life and worship, for the glory of your name, who with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God, forever and ever. Amen.